you know, it's a testament to how cold it's been, that on a day where it's 7 degrees or 8 degrees or whatever it is above zero, that it gives you just enough hope, just enough thought that spring will be here sometime, hopefully soon. And we might have snow piles all the way through July, but spring is coming, and the cold and the snow is eventually going to give way. We'll put away our snow blowers and pull out our lawn mowers, and the greens of summer will be here, and we'll start, and like the farmer in the gospel parable today, you'll be like the farmer, and you'll go out and you'll scatter good seed, whether it's in your garden or in your fields. You'll go out and you'll scatter what you hope to be good seed in hope of just a great harvest. Hopefully, it's not fully like the parable in which hopefully you don't have an enemy coming along and sowing weeds into your garden. In the parable that Jesus tells us, he starts with a farmer who goes out and sows good seed. It's quality stuff, and he puts it out in his field, and then he tells us that during the night, an enemy actually comes and plants weeds in the whole thing, right on top of what's already there. Now, I don't know how cutthroat farming is around here, but I'm pretty sure your enemies aren't out there, you know, planting Roundup-proof weeds in your garden and trying to sabotage your farms and all these things. I'm pretty sure we don't have enemies like that, or at least I hope you don't. But in the parable, we have this. And as the plants grow and reach maturation, the servants go out and they can see that there's weeds there. And they question what happened. And they go to the master, the farmer, and they ask him, well, master, should we go out and should we pluck up the weeds and get rid of them now? And the master tells them, no, wait until the harvest. Because if you go out and do it now, you might, by mistake, pull up the good things. It reminds me when I plant carrots in our garden, and when the carrots start sprouting up, they look so delicate and they're so small, and you know that seed isn't very far into the ground, and if your garden is anything remotely like mine, you got weeds all over the place. And if you try to go and weed in those carrots, it's such a delicate process because one wrong move and you're pulling up carrots and not weeds anymore. The weeds and the carrots are so intertwined and just right on top of each other. It's such a delicate thing to do. You almost do better to wait till later when the carrots are a little bit more mature. And this is what the farmer says, not to do it because he doesn't want the wheat to be pulled up with the weeds. And so the farmer tells his servants, let's wait until the harvest. Later on, when Jesus is with his disciples and they go into a house and it's just Jesus and the disciples ask Jesus to explain this parable to them. And he gives them the answers that you kind of would expect. It's not real hard to connect the dots on who represents who here. Jesus says the farmer is the Son of Man, which is Christ's way of talking about himself. He is the Son of Man. So the farmer is Jesus. And Jesus, the good seed he sows, are people of the kingdom, children of the kingdom of God. Those who have faith in him are the good seed. The enemy, the one who plants the weeds, is the evil one, or the devil. And what the devil sows is all causes of evil. All those who do evil and live sinful lives, and those who would entice others to do evil as well, they are all seed that belongs to the devil. But what's alarming about this parable is how intermingled they all are, how pervasive the weeds are with the good seed. They are all part of the same field. They are so intertwined that their roots are joined and together. It's just a mess. And if we were to step back and look at how our world is, because Jesus says the world is the field, we know how intertwined evil is with good. It's easy to see how pervasive sin is in our world. All causes of sin, and those who would entice others to sin, and those who engage in sin themselves, they're intertwined with the children of God. They're intertwined with what Christ Himself has sown. We all share the same vegetable patch, the same field. At times we will feel frustrated with this, and we'll maybe even express those frustrations to God, and frustrations with what also is alarming about this passage is the Lord's extreme patience with evil. His extreme patience to wait till the very end, till the harvest, to finally and fully deal with evil. We'll want to ask the Lord, why don't you do anything about this? But thank God that He is patient. Because God's patience shows us exactly how loving and how kind and how just the Lord truly is. 2 Peter 3:9 says this, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." The Lord in His patience loves the world so much that He is willing to let things go so that people might come to repentance in Him. Jesus doesn't talk about this in His parable per se, but if we were to put it in the language of the parable, the Lord wants weeds to be converted into wheat. Thank God for His patience, for His love and kindness, because it's only by His love and kindness and His grace that we are actually counted as wheat, as good seed, and not weeds. We didn't sow ourselves. Christ sowed us, granted us faith. And thank God for His love and for His kindness and His grace, because through it we are nourished. We are fed, we are watered, we are taken care of. I don't know about you, but the plants in my garden, if I don't weed my garden, they're not going to live. Not just from the weeds, but from the ground cherries that infest the whole thing too. They would take over the whole yard. I have to take care of it. But the Lord is able to take care of us without removing the weeds. He nourishes us. He feeds us. It's all by His grace that we are cared for. Without His love and patience, we'd be choked out. We'd be killed. We would be destroyed by the weeds around us, by the evil, the lawlessness that is all around us, if it wasn't for God's abiding presence and grace to us. Our Lord Jesus explains this parable to His disciples because He can see in them anxiety about evil. He can see in them that they are anxious about all the causes of evil and the work of the devil in the world and the work of sin in the world. They are anxious about this. It upsets them that it feels like God isn't doing something about it sometimes. And so Jesus, in His explanation, focuses on God's promise to take care of things at the end. That God is not only here with us in the present, caring for us, nurturing us, feeding us, providing sustenance for us so that we aren't choked out, but he gives us a promise that he will have the final word, not the devil. That he will have the final word, not evil, not sin. The weeds will be taken care of. They'll be gathered and tossed into the fire. And all those children of the kingdom who have faith in him will also be gathered, harvested, and taken into the Lord's barn and watched after for all of eternity. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Let us pray. Gracious and almighty Father, thank you for being patient towards us. Thank you for sowing us with faith, that we might believe and be your children. Encourage us, strengthen us, feed us, O Lord, that we might last and flourish in a world sown full of evil. We pray, O Lord, that you would give us faith to the very end. We ask this in your name. Amen.